With this thought in mind, I made perhaps one step per minute. I moved faster when I saw Jim far ahead, beckoning in the moonlight. We came to the gate that divided the garden from the backyard. Jim touched it. The gate squeaked. "Spit on it," whispered Dill. "You got us in a box, Jim," I muttered. "We can't get out of here so easy." "Shh! Spit on it, Scout." We spat ourselves dry, and Jim opened the gate slowly, lifting it aside and resting it on the fence. We were in the backyard. The back of the Radley house was less inviting than the front. A ramshackle porch ran the width of the house. There were two doors and two dark windows between the doors. Instead of a column, a rough 2x4 supported one end of the roof. An old Franklin stove sat in the corner of the porch. Above it, a hat rack mirror caught the moon and shone eerily.
"Ah," said Jim softly, lifting his foot.
"'Smatter?"
"Chickens," he breathed.
That we would be obliged to dodge the unseen from all directions was confirmed when Dill ahead of us spelled G-O-D in a whisper. We crept to the side of the house, around to the window with the hanging shutter. The sill was several inches taller than Jim.
"Give you a hand up," he muttered to Dill.
"Wait, though." Jim grabbed his left wrist and my right wrist. I grabbed my left wrist and Jim's right wrist. We crouched, and Dill sat on our saddle. We raised him, and he caught the windowsill.
"Hurry," Jim whispered. "We can't last much longer."
Dill punched my shoulder, and we lowered him to the ground.
"What'd you see?"
"Nothing. Curtains. There's a little teeny light way off somewhere, though."
"Let's get away from here," breathed Jim. "Let's go round and back again."
"Shh," he warned me as I was about to protest.
"Let's try the back window."
"Dill, no," I said. Dill stopped and let Jim go ahead. When Jim put his foot on the bottom step, the step squeaked. He stood still, then tried his weight by degrees. The step was silent. Jim skipped two steps, put his foot on the porch, heaved himself to it, and teetered a long moment. He regained his balance and dropped to his knees. He crawled to the window, raised his head, and looked in. Then I saw the shadow. It was the shadow of a man with a hat on. At first, I thought it was a tree, but there was no wind blowing, and tree trunks never walked. The back porch was bathed in moonlight, and the shadow, crisp as toast, moved across the porch toward Jim. Dill saw it next. He put his hands to his face. When it crossed Jim, Jim saw it. He put his arms over his head and went rigid. The shadow stopped about a foot beyond Jim. Its arm came out from its side, dropped, and was still. Then it turned and moved back across Jim, walked along the porch and off the side of the house, returning as it had come. Jim leaped off the porch and galloped toward us. He flung open the gate, danced Dill and me through, and shooed us between two rows of swishing collards. Halfway through the collards, I tripped. As I tripped, the roar of a shotgun shattered the neighborhood. Dill and Jim dived beside me. Jim's breath came in sobs. "Fence by the schoolyard. Hurry, Scout." Jim held the bottom wire. Dill and I rolled through and were halfway to the shelter of the schoolyard's solitary oak when we sensed that Jim was not with us.
We ran back and found him struggling in the fence, kicking his pants off to get loose. He ran to the oak tree in his shorts. Safely behind it, we gave way to numbness, but Jim's mind was racing. We gotta get home. They'll miss us.